All believers in the Church of Jesus Christ are called a holy nation because we now belong to God. God does not want us to talk like, think like, act like, speak like any of the world around us. He wants us to be different. One of the cultural problems that we are having in Western civilization today is we are adopting secular viewpoints into Christian thinking, amalgamating the two and thinking this is the way to reach people. No, it is not. Never has been. And a lot of us are afraid of being different.
This is Hope for Today. We live in a world that makes light of sin. It mocks reverence and talks about God as though he were common. But the God of the Bible is not common. He is holy, utterly pure, completely set apart, glorious beyond all comparison. Today, Bible teacher David Hawking begins a message called The Holiness of God. It's part of our ongoing series on the attributes of God. And today, David's going to take us into one of the most sobering and most majestic truths in all of the Word of God. Stay with us as we bring you the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, right here on Hope for Today. And just before today's lesson, we want to tell you about a free resource available right now on the Hope for Today homepage. It's called Does God Truly Love Me? This is written by our good friend Richard A. Bennett, and it's designed to help you or someone you know be assured that the God we're studying during our current radio series truly does love you and them. Does God Truly Love Me is available as a free download. We even have it in multiple languages. Just click download, read, and share it with as many folks as you like. There's nothing to sign up for. Just go to the homepage of David Hawking, that's David, HOCKING.org. Click on Does God Truly Love Me? Select the language you want. You'll have it in seconds. It's Does God Truly Love Me? At DavidHawking.org. And here's David with today's study on the holiness of God. We'll focus on Isaiah chapter 6 and some other important passages. David?
Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. A.W. Tozer, in his excellent little book called The Knowledge of the Holy, on pages 112 and 113, wrote this about God's holiness. Holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. He is absolutely holy, with an infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being other than it is. Because he is holy, his attributes are holy. That is, whatever we think of as belonging to God must be thought of as holy. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, a good king, sad moment in history. The last 16 years of his life, he was a leper, and Jotham, his son, reigned as co-regent. Everyone that came into the palace and would see this godly man, Uzziah, as a leper, would hear from his lips the cry to them to warn them, unclean, unclean. Imagine being king of the realm and having to say that to people. The loneliness of those with leprosy is well known. The isolation, the awfulness of the disease, 16 years before he died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And now turn to Revelation, please, chapter 4, as we have a commentary on these words of Isaiah chapter 6, a portion of it quoted word for word. The scene is heaven. God the Father is sitting on the throne, like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, a rainbow about the throne, appearance like an emerald, 24 thrones around the throne. From the throne are going lightnings and thunders and voices, and there are seven lamps of fire there, and the whole throne room is sitting on a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on all four sides of it, are four angels. We call them the worship leaders of heaven. The Bible says in verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, just like Isaiah's account, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. And what do they proclaim? They constantly say this, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, who we believe represents a completed body of the church in heaven, they fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. What brought forth all this worship was the announcement by the worship leaders of heaven, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And everyone bowed down and worshiped. One hardly knows where to begin. The subject is so vast. We're going to deal with two things about the holiness of God. We first want to look at the nature of God's holiness, what he is. And then we're going to look at our need for personal holiness in our own life because of it. The nature of God's holiness. Holiness, it means separation. Translated, sanctify, purify. To be made holy is to be set apart. And there are several ways in which God is set apart. Turn, please, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. When you speak of the nature of God's holiness, it refers to his unique person, that there is no one like him. He is separate from anyone you have ever met or known. God is totally different, radically, unusually, completely different from anyone you have ever known. And the Bible emphasizes it all the time, especially in Isaiah the prophet. In Exodus 15:11, it says in the song of Moses, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? No one is like the Lord in holiness, in being separate. He is totally separate. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. It refers to the unique person of God, that there isn't anyone like him. When you say he is holy, no one is comparable to him. In 1 Samuel 2, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, she prayed for a child. She was barren, and God answered her prayer. And she started to rejoice in the Lord in a wonderful prayer in 1 Samuel 2. In verse 2, she said, there is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. There's none holy, separate like you. When you speak of the holiness of God, you mean he is totally different and separate from anyone that you have ever met in your life. Secondly, turn to Psalm 99. It also refers to his exalted position, that there is no one in the same camp who is over everything like he is. I like what one writer said, every man on the face of the earth who ever entered politics has tried to be over someone or something. And I thought to myself, there is no way anyone on the face of this planet could possibly be higher than God Almighty. He is holy, he's separate from anyone who's ever tried to be over anyone. He is in his exalted position, absolutely separate from everyone. In Psalm 99, verse 2, it says, the Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is what? What does it say? Holy. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is what? Holy. Verse 9, it repeats it again. Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. It refers to his unique person. It refers to his exalted position. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, the high and lofty one inhabits eternity. He is holy. He is absolutely separate because of his exalted position. He is high and lofty. He is above all the peoples, above everyone and everything. That's how separate he is. Number three, it also refers to the places where he dwells. When you talk of God's holiness, his separateness, it's interesting that wherever he dwells, God always adds the adjective holy to it. We read in Psalm 99, verse 9, his holy hill. We're to worship at his holy hill. You can read in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 27, the holy dwelling place of God is heaven. You can read in Psalm 5, 7 about his holy temple. You can read in Ephesians 2, 21 that the church, all the believers, having God dwelling in them, become a holy temple in the Lord. Read in Isaiah 56, 7 that we are to worship at a holy mountain because that's where God is. Same thing in Isaiah 66, verse 20, speaking of the coming kingdom of God on earth, the millennium, when God dwells among his people. It calls it a holy mountain. In Psalm 24, 3, where he dwells is called a holy place. Heaven itself, the new city, Revelation 21, 10, holy Jerusalem, Revelation 22, 19, holy city. Folks, wherever God dwells, it becomes a unique and separated place. And God puts with it an adjective and says that's holy ground. Turn to Exodus 19. When we speak of the holiness of God, it refers to his unique person, his exalted position, the specific places where he dwells, but it also refers to his special people. God said, speaking to the children of Israel, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Israel is called a holy nation. Now, did Israel ever sin? Were they ever disobedient? Yes, they were idolatrous. They were immoral. They sinned against God. They were certainly not holy in the sense of being separate from sin. But God says, you are a holy nation. I want you separated from all nations on the face of the earth. In order to show that they were holy, God made them eat kosher. Amen? But in Leviticus chapter 11, God said, I'm going to give you a diet so everybody will know that you're weird. My translation, but it gives you the idea. God wanted everybody and the children of Israel to be totally different from everybody around them. So he said, you're going to eat different. You're going to stay away from all that stuff the goyim like. Lobster, crab, shrimp. Get rid of that junk. Oh, by the way, there's one animal, everything it produces, I don't even want to see it on your plate. We call it pig. Ham, pork, bacon. Get it out of your life. Amen? Amen. About four people on that one. In Leviticus chapter 11, here's what God said. Verse 44, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself. That's a word for holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. When we talk about the holiness of God, it refers to His special people. He wants His people to be separate from all nations around. In chapter 7, verse 6, He said, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself." I like these words. A special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because of His oath. My friends, the holiness of God referred to the nation of Israel. He wants them to be separate. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. The interesting thing to me is that the special people of God not only refers to the children of Israel, it refers to the church of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, 9, Peter writes to believers and says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Chapter 3, verse 5, "In this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves." The point is, there are special people who are believers, who trust in God, who God puts the adjective with and says they are holy now. They are people for me. They're the people of God. All believers in the church of Jesus Christ are called a holy nation because we now belong to God. God does not want us to talk like, think like, act like, speak like any of the world around us. He wants us to be different. God doesn't want you to talk like them, to do what they do, to think like them, to go where they go. He wants you to be different. And a lot of us are afraid of being different. The message in society today is be the same, everybody alike. Christians are to be different. God wants you different. I like to use the word weird. Throw in wacko. I don't care. God wants you to be different. Paul even said, "I'm a fool for Christ's sake." Holiness refers to His people. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21, the holiness of God refers to His unique person, His exalted position, the specific places where He dwells, to His special people. It also refers to His designated priests. Boy, you get a glimpse, I'll tell you, of holiness when you look at what God said about priests. In Leviticus 21, there is no group of people on the face of the earth that have had higher standards than the priests of the Old Testament. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people." You can't even touch a dead body. If somebody dies in your presence, you got to call for help. You talk about tough things. Verse 5, "They'll not make any bald place in their heads. They'll not shave the edges of their beards, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." I mean, nothing, folks. No haircuts. Why? Verse 6, "They're to be holy to the Lord their God." Verse 7, "They'll not take a wife who's a harlot, prostitute, defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband." Why? Because a priest is holy to his God. Verse 13, "He shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or a defiled woman or a harlot. These he shall not marry. He shall take a virgin of his own people as wife." By the way, another passage tells us he can't divorce her either. Verse 17, "No man who has any defect may approach." Can't have a defect, can't be blind, can't be lame, can't have broken foot, broken hand, can't be a hunchback, can't be a dwarf, have no eye problems, no scabs, nothing. Hey, are you reading this? You got a sore, you're out. I got a limp, you're out. I lean over a little, get out. You're kidding. Why would God do that? Because He wants them to be different from everybody else. The priests were not the same. They were totally different, had different standards. Physically, they had different standards. Socially, in terms of marriage and family, they were absolutely to be different. Why? Because they're holy to the Lord. Let me tell you what else He did. Out of all these priests, He said, "Oh, by the way, one of you is really going to be different. And he's the only one who can go into a special little room I've got in the tabernacle or temple that I call the Holy of Holies. This is the holiest place on earth I know. This is where my presence is going to come once a year on the Day of Atonement. And it's so holy. By the way, there's no chairs. I don't ever want to see him sitting down. Oh, by the way, put a rope on the end of his robe, because if he dies, nobody can go in to get him, because he's the only one that can go in there. So you'll have to pull his dead body out if he dies in there of a heart attack. This guy is holy unto the Lord. In fact, I want him to wear a giant turban, and I'm going to put on that turban, holiness to the Lord. And everybody will know this is the weirdest guy in Israel. We call him the high priest. Don't even get close to him. And he's the only one that can go into the Holy of Holies. And all the rest of you guys are also going to be different from everybody else. And you're going to serve me day and night in this holy place. Now, I don't care what you think about all this. I really don't. The American generation doesn't like those kind of things. Everybody should be treated alike. No, God never did that. God's no respecter of persons, but don't you think that he doesn't have standards of holiness? He does, and he had it among the priests.
That's Bible teacher and author David Hawking, and this is Hope for Today. David returns in just a moment to bring our study to a close. First, though, Matt's here, and we have a couple of super helpful study resources we want to tell you about.
Jim, you know, when listening to a message or sermon, I wish I had 100% recall and retention.
Oh, yeah.
Like lightning-fast, bullseye, accurate note-taking skills.
Oh, yeah.
And the opportunity to ask the speaker a clarifying question at any point during the session.
But you don't, nope. And I don't. None of us do. And too often, we hear a biblical truth that ministers to our heart, or an application that would be perfect to share with a friend.
Yeah, something that would be tremendously helpful and life-changing.
Yeah, but we can't get it written down.
Nope. And it's lost from memory, right?
You can't write it down and later you can't remember it.
Yeah, right?
No. Well, this month, Hope for Today is offering a dynamite resource bundle, David's original sermon notes and outline packs for all 27 of his teaching series in the New Testament.
You know, these are the sermon notes and outlines he used to preach each and every message, and they reflect his extensive study and prayerful applications. So yeah. 4 hours a day thing, yeah, right?
Yeah, Matt, wow, what a blessing that is that God gave your dad that ability to teach and that heart for studying the Word of God four
Amen.
Hours a day. And these sermon notes are reflective of that study. The sermon notes help you capture the lessons and applications and encouragement from the message, each message in a New Testament series, in a comprehensive but concise format.
Get in touch today and purchase the study notes, outlines, packs for all 27 of my dad's teaching series in the New Testament.
The bundle is just $75.
Mm-hmm.
Get this and you'll be ready for each and every upcoming Hope for Today radio series in the New Testament.
Or you'll have a ready foundation for your own study or to teach a group study.
And your purchase or donation will also help the ministry of Hope for Today.
And please remember to pray for Hope for Today.
Yeah, please do that.
Amen.
Well, we'd also like to let you know that our current radio series on the attributes of God, the whole series is available complete on an MP3 CD, and the cost is just $20. We also have David's book, The God of the Bible, available. The God of the Bible, a wonderful follow-up to our current radio series, and it's just $20. Both of these resources will help take you deeper into the great truths we've been studying and keep the Word of God in front of you long after the broadcast ends. To order, visit davidhawking.org or 800-75-242-53 in the U.S., 888-75-242-53 in Canada. And as you contact us, would you prayerfully consider a quick gift of support to help Hope for Today? Your support helps keep this broadcast on the air and online and helps us continue declaring the truth of God's Word without compromise. Give by phone or online or by mail. In the U.S., write to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, B.C., V2S, 8P1. Our phone number again in the U.S., 875-BIBLE. In Canada, 888-75-BIBLE. And, of course, reach us online at davidhawking.org. And once again, here's David.
There is no particular study of the character of God as important as the word holiness. Holiness certainly means to be separate, and he is separate from sin. But he is also separate from the material and physical creation. And we need to understand God's holiness because he told us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God expects us to do what we do in our believing experience based on who he is. And that's so important as it relates to holiness. Say to our God, we love you, we thank God for the privilege of being your servants, and we want to praise your name for what you do. Praise ye the Lord. God bless you.
Well, thank you, David. Well, next time is day two of David's message on the holiness of God. The God of the Bible is not common, he's not casual, and he's not to be taken lightly. And he's not to be dragged down into man's small thoughts, soft words, or shallow religion. He is holy, pure, separate, fearsome, and glorious beyond all comparison. David's going to take us back to the Word of God to show us even more of the blazing holiness of the Lord. That's next time on Hope for Today.